worries is over because we found you. And from the moment we found you, we were in rest, O Lord. And in you there is a perfect rest. Because you said, come unto me, you that are heavy and heavy laden, I will give you rest. We have dropped our burdens on your feet, and we don't care about the future anymore because we believe in you. We have you in us, and in you is our future and our eternity, O Lord. Bless us this morning for being in your presence. Heavenly Father, bless your children, O Lord. Look at their sincerity, O Lord. They have woken up early in the morning on a Sunday while they could take the opportunity to sleep, O Lord, but they've come. They've got themselves ready, dressed up, O Lord, drove long distances and came to worship you. Look at their sincerity, O Lord, and in return, bless us, Heavenly Father. Give us, O Lord, all the blessings that is in your word for keeping what you have ordained us to do, O Lord. Give us good jobs, O Lord. Give us good houses, O Lord. Give us good health, O Lord. Give us a good church, O Heavenly Father. Give us all our needs, O Lord, because you are our Father and you care for us, O Lord. Bless us now as we open your word. Inspire the word, O Lord. Bless those upstairs in the two classes, O Lord. Let your hand be upon them. Speak to your people, O Lord. Bless the entire service in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, musicians, for being on your post of duty. Sister Valika, thank you for the flute. It sounds very well. You praise God for that, and it adds another level to the worship. Amen. So we praise the Lord. So we still on our team. And last week we started looking at the local church because we spoke about the church as a spiritual body, as the invisible body of the Lord Jesus. We enter there by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, by the new birth. But there was one side, the spiritual side of the church. But the church, you know, we are not only spiritual beings. We are body, spirit, and soul. So we still live in a physical body. Amen. The soul that is born again, the soul that we are talking about, which becomes member of the church by the new birth, that soul lives in a physical body. And as such, there's a physical part to the church as well, because it's our physical body that brings our souls, which are spiritual, to be member or to form that spiritual church, but we still live in the physical body. So there's, as I was saying, a physical aspect to the church. That's why it is important that we look at the local church. I said last week that since we started this study, we went on one side as if we were all only emphasizing on the spiritual side. And many people have gone that side to say, we don't need to gather anymore. Because since we are born again, because since we have the Holy Spirit, we are part of the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, we don't need to gather anymore. These physical gatherings, they are like the synagogues in the time of Jesus Christ. They call it synagogue, they call it the cult of the Pharisees and so forth. But you are going to see that our physical gathering are an important part of our going to heaven. Because the soul you care for, that soul It's this body that is the vehicle to that soul. And that soul needs to be fed. That soul need to be entertained for it to grow. We spoke last week about the new birth. We are showing that it's a process. Because from birth, a baby doesn't... We are happy that a baby is born. We are happy in the family that we have a child. But if after a year, that baby remains the same size, the same shape, the same weight, the way it was born a year ago, it's a matter of concern. It becomes a problem in the family. People will say, but you have a baby, that's it. Just be happy because you have a baby. No, we have a baby, but that baby is destined to reach a certain stature. That baby is destined to become a man. So if after a year is still 3.5 kilos, there's something wrong with that baby. That's the same thing with our spiritual side. We are born, you are happy, I'm born again. But after a certain distance on the way, you need to look back to say, oh, the clothes I was wearing last year, they don't fit me anymore. Because I've made a certain walk with the Lord. I've kept myself under a certain diet, and that diet has produced such result. After 5 years, you need to look back at yourself and say, oh, that's 5 years back, I was still pooing in my pants. But now I can't poo in my pants anymore. I can talk, I can go to toilet, I can do everything. You need to see that progression in your physical life. Spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. New birth brings you, makes you citizen, part of the kingdom, but you need to grow to the stature of the perfect man. Amen. After a year, after a certain time, we need to see, you need to look at yourself, at your experience to say, no, I was born on such year, such day, but now after a certain number of months, I'm not a spiritual baby anymore. Amen. I'm making some progress in the Lord. I'm reaching, I'm not yet what I need to be, but I'm somewhere on the way. I'm somewhere in between. Amen. So to keep that process going, you need to eat. Amen. The baby needs to eat. The baby needs to be put under a certain diet. The baby needs to be put under a certain set of vaccinations. Because there's some diseases that will come to attack the baby. Because there's some things that will come to attack the baby. It needs to be put under a certain dress code. If it's winter, you need to protect him accordingly. If it's summer, you need to protect him accordingly. Because if you put on him too much clothes on summer, it's going to be another problem. Less clothes in winter is going to be a problem. Amen. So spiritually speaking, that's the job of the local body. That's the job of the local church. Because when you are born again, you need now to be put under a certain headship. Amen. God puts you under a headship of a father and a mother. They know they have the responsibility of caring of your physical growth. Spiritually speaking, God must put you under a headship of a certain ministry to watch over your progress spiritually. Being born again is not enough. We can't take a baby and leave him down there on the streets. No father, no mother. You say, as long as he's born again, that's it. That baby will die. Spiritually speaking, you can't say, okay, I've been born again. I can sit in my room in the university, at college, and as long as I have the Bible, I'm born again, I will grow. You need to be put under a certain ministry. You need to be put under a certain watch. And that man and that minister or that ministry has the responsibility to watch over you. Say, okay, my baby is born, but at this stage, I need to give him some milk. Because if I give him a pizza and bananas, now he's going to die. But after 5 years, is not, though it still needs milk, but it needs some meat and milk as well. That's the importance of local gatherings, our local gatherings. Many people have gone to the extremes. I know back home there was some people, when you call them, "Hello, brother Jeff," say, "Don't call me brother, because the age of brothers is gone. You know, it's past. We are not brothers anymore. Call me mister." Or call me sir. Because the churches and the brothers, it was in the ages of, we are in a different age now. Even the age of Branham is gone. Call me mister. Or if you don't want to call me mister or brother, call me Jesse. Amen. So, but we are going to see that it's an important part in our growing, in our growth, spiritually speaking. If you want to attain that perfect stature of a perfect man, you need to keep yourself under a certain atmosphere. From the day of Pentecost, Peter received the keys. We know it. We saw it. That he received the keys to build a spiritual house, to build the spiritual church that Jesus wanted as his bride. And Peter showed it, proved it the day of Pentecost. He spoke, and through his speech, children were born in the kingdom. From his first speech, 3,000 were born. A few verses later, in chapter 5, he spoke again, 5,000 were born. Amen. Amen. They were still keeping people getting into the kingdom. Amen. Spiritually, people were receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Spiritually, people were being born into the kingdom. Amen. The spiritual body was being formed. But Peter and the apostle, they didn't stop there. Amen. They had to look now after those who were born into the kingdom. Amen. They were to look after them. Acts chapter 2, from verse 41. Are we together? Amen. Acts 2, from 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Amen. 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship." Amen. Amen. After receiving the Holy Ghost, they didn't say, "That's enough, let's go back. If I'm a fisherman, let me go fish. If I'm a, I don't know, publican, let me go and open my," whatever. No. After receiving the Holy Ghost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. All together, they were gathering to be taught, because that soul, that new birth in them, needed to be fed on the apostles' doctrine. It needed to be fed in the fellowship of the brethren. They kept it steadfastly, every day with no breaks. "And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together." Amen. "All that believed were together and had all things in common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man has need. And they continuing daily," amen. Amen. "They continuing daily with one accord," amen, "in the temple," amen, "and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Amen. Amen. We are not even doing like them. We meet 3 times a week. True. Sometimes even only once. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even we don't come. Amen. But but it's still too much. Even that once, it's still too much. Even once a month, it's still too much. You know, if you want things easy, made easy for you, you will still find an excuse. If you want things made simple, you will still find an excuse. I remember when I was in college, one of our lecturers told us, he was an advisor to our former president, Mobutu. Many of you know him. So they had a mission once to go, I don't know, at the UN or somewhere. So one of the delegates here to represent the president, Mobutu, so he had to make a speech. But he wanted a speech that he can, you know, he didn't want to stand there and start reading. He wanted something simple enough and short enough so that he can recite it. So that lecturer made a two-page speech, and he brought it to him. He said, look, he read. After he said, no, it's still too much. Can you summarize it a little bit? The man went and summarized it into one page. He brought it to him. He said, it's still too much. Can you summarize it again? The man went and summarized it into a half a page. He brought it, he said, it's okay, but can you do more? He went to summarize it into a paragraph. He brought it to him. He said, that's much better, but you still can do more. The man went and summarized it into one line. He came and he said, okay. He read the line, he read. He said, but I can't keep it. Can you just bring an idea? So the man went and summarized it into one word, okay? And he told him the word. He said, okay, that's fine. The time to deliver the speech, he forgot the word. Even the one word, you forgot the word. Amen. So if you want things simple, you'll still find an excuse. That's human nature. You want things to be easy, done for you. If you don't want to put an effort in something, I tell you, if you have the willingness to do something, you can recite this old book. Amen. If it's a matter of life and death, they put $10 billion there. They say, we give you a month to recite this book. You'll see people there. They'll be like crazy on the roads here. Blah, 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 blah. Because there's $10 billion involved. So that's just to show that human nature, you want shortcuts. We want excuses. Going to church, they still find somewhere to justify themselves. You know, we are spiritual, you know, we don't need, no. They were meeting daily. Amen. And breaking the bread. Amen. If we put it for 7 days a week, every day we have to come here, there'll be a lot of complaints here. There'll be many people, brother, what do you think? We don't want to put it that way. But that's what the disciples were doing. Daily, from house to house. Even if they can't come here, they will go, people living in one area, they will meet, pray, fellowship, break the bread, and do something for the Lord. Amen. This is part of bringing, caring about that soul that you need to see grow. Amen. Amen. In chapter 4, from verse 32, he says, and the multitude of them that believed were on one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that out of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he has need. And Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see that they formed a community. They were, though they were, you know, the first people that received the Holy Spirit, the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, them that laid the foundation of on which we are based today, see the way they were doing. They were meeting, they were gathering, they were fellowshipping, they were living all together because they knew the importance of their local gatherings. They knew the importance of their local meetings. So, from those local assemblies, if you go read Romans chapter 1, you'll see that everywhere all around where the disciples were going, they were starting those local churches. Some of the churches were just in houses. Then you'll see Paul saying, the church in the house of such and such. Let's read it. Romans 16. Romans chapter 16. Sorry. Let me find it quickly. Verse 4. No, let's just start from verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Verse 4, he says. Verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first, and so forth. So there were churches all over those areas there. Some were just in the house of a brother. Him, his wife, and maybe one or two brethren, they were forming a local church, a local assembly of that area, because they knew the importance of meeting, of keeping the fellowship, of being fed in the doctrine of the apostle. Amen, so local assemblies are very, very, very important. Amen. So from now on, we are going to see that that local assembly, that local body, needs a certain organization. The prophet says, we are not an organization, but we are a group of people, and we need a certain organization to function. Amen? So, those groups from that living into a community together, when people live together, problems always start to arise. There's always issues. There's always this sister and that sister that doesn't see things the same way, and so they needed some kind of order. They needed some kind of organizations to lead the things of the local assemblies. That's why you see in Acts chapter 6, a quarreling started about the distribution of the goods. Because people were selling their stuffs and they'll come and they need to distribute it to widows, to this and to the poor. But from the distribution, the Greeks started murmuring that Jews are not giving us enough. Our widows are starving, this and that. So all those things were now hindering the work of the local assembly. They needed to put some organization in a way that things may be done properly. So from the next sessions, we'll see now, as a local church, how God wants it to be organized. You need to understand your responsibility. You need to understand who is the pastor in the church. Amen. You need to understand deacons, what are they and what are their responsibility? And what is your duty toward the deacons? Amen. What is your duty toward the pastor? What is your duty as an individual member in the church? All these things are very, very important, because the good health of this local body, Your spiritual life depends on the well-being of this local body. So you need to play your part. You need to understand how the dynamic works in the local body, how things are organized, how things are set. And if you understand it, you can play your role correctly. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Bless your people. Help us, O Lord, to understand who we are exactly, what position we need to keep in your body, and how we can play our role for the advance of your kingdom. Bless us now as we commit the remaining of the service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.